So, for our first and only review of the day, it's going to be for the series I'm a Virgo. I'm a Virgo is a limited series on Amazon Prime right now from the creator, Boots Riley. I've been meaning to check this out. I was a huge fan of Boots Riley and his film, Sorry to Bother You. I think this is really a great film. One of my favorite films in the last 10 years. Really, you know, out there kind of premise, sci-fi. Speaking about that, we talked about the Book of Clarence a little bit before. Lakeith Stanfield was also in this with Tessa Thompson. You have Terry Crews also in this. Really, really great cast. Lakeith Stanfield, I mean, he's really blowing up. I mean, he's pretty much in a lot of stuff now. I mean, he's kind of premier leading black actor right now. And when you watch Boots Riley, especially his stuff, and you watch him speak publicly, very politically conscious guy, puts a lot of that messaging into his movies. And when you see Sorry to Bother, you'll definitely see that and see all that messaging there. I do think the ending of this movie, I'm not sure how you feel about the ending. I do think the ending is a little, I think it kind of misses the mark just a tad bit. What do you think about Sorry to Bother You? And everything?
I agree with everything you said. I love the movie. The ending, I'm like, why? No, please, no. But yeah, Afro-surrealism, at its finest, you know, code switching is a big part of the movie. You know, what this black man has to do in order to be successful at his job, he has to change, you know, the way he speaks. You know, he has to, you know, assimilate whiteness, something we see in American Fiction. Like, how come a great black writer has to pander to a white audience? You know, like, we want a black book. It is a black book. I'm the author. I'm black. I wrote it. It's a black book. Oh, you know what I mean. I'm talking about, you know, crackhead moms, deadbeat dads, you know, like the real black experience, you know. And there's a lot of that in Sorry to Bother You, you know, whether it's assimilating whiteness or code switching, you know, again, capitalism is a big thing in almost, and so far, all of his projects, you know, corporate greed, you know, the ability to buy someone's soul and rob them of their integrity, and just, you know, things that companies will do just to maintain production and, you know, efficiency, you know, like the whole horse thing is, that threw me. It was a big swing, but and it really threw me. It was off-putting at first, but I was along for the ride in that theater back in 2018, and I really loved it. I liked how Tessa Thompson's earrings kept magically changing and kept saying like really big things, like she had really big heavy earrings and they kept changing like messages. Who's the actor who was in Coming to America 2? He plays Eddie's son. There's a scene they have with Lakeith, like, oh, you hope I have a good day. I hope you have a good day. My brother, I hope you just come up the rest of the week and have the whole day is like put up success.
Oh, just come up, let me see if I can pull up the actor real quick.
Yeah.
Jermaine Fowler.
Yeah, he's great in the movie. Him and Lakeith are awesome as playing friends. Who else is in it? Armie Hammer is in it, right?
Yeah, he didn't eat nobody in it.
He didn't eat nobody. not even the horses, but like, oh my god, when Lakeith's character is like brought up in the company, he gets like to attend parties and stuff, and like they, because he's black, you know, oh, you know how to rap, you know how to freestyle, you're black, you know how to play basketball, and they put a mic in his hand, they put him up, and he just, you know, says what he says, and these white people buy it. They're like, yeah, this is real hip hop. He's just saying, nigga shit. I'm like, bro. And they're like, I was dying in the theater because the white people in the audience were just eating up. It was hilarious. Yeah, he puts a lot of that in I'm a Virgo with Jerrell Jerome from Moonlight, When They See Us, Concrete Cowboy, you know, a really talented young Dominican actor who does not shy away from his blackness. You know, some Afro-Latinos don't want to accept the Afro part. You know, like, I'm no black, I'm Dominican. I'm like,
yeah.
Bruh, come on, fam. Come on, fam. Like, you have an Afro. Like, you have hair like mine. What are you talking about? Yeah, 13-foot black man in Oakland. It's like you said, has that sci-fi kind of flavor to it. We see the black community instantly embrace him and just want him to hang out. Like, they don't want anything from him. They just want to be his friend. But once he goes out into the real world, white people want to capitalize on this spectacle, and they want him to be a model. They want him to, they want to use him for ads, and you know, this, they want to use his body for profit. And his best friend here, who is phenomenal in the show, I forgot the actor's name too.
Carrie Young.
She is a scene stealer. She is, might be the MVP of the show in that last episode where she just goes on this epic, can you call it a monologue? Just
a monologue on
capitalism and the harms of it and the dangers of the system in place in this country. And like, you know, our healthcare system is a for-profit healthcare system, which is why so many people, like their friend, literally die on the steps of the hospital because they're not insured. So we can't actually help you because you have no money. Oh, you're broke? We can't help you. You know, like if you go to England, you break your arm, you go to the hospital, they fix you up and you go. You don't pay for anything. That's the way it should be. But this show, the final episode really just hits it home with the message. As even if it is like nail on the head, it's, you can't miss it, what Boots Riley is trying to say.
Like you mentioned, so, you know, the series, what is it about? I'm Virgo, as Chris was talking about, 13-foot black man that you see in here. And it's played by Jerome here. Like you said, numerous credits that he's been in. He's an up-and-coming, rising young actor. And you have the situation. It's very much like when you see, you know, this is like mixing superhero stuff with sci-fi genre, also with Afro surrealism, very much what you saw, like if you were familiar with Sorry to Bother You, if anybody's seen that. And there's a lot of elements of Sorry to Bother You that also come back here, like you even have the character of, played by Carrie Young Jones in this, who, she's the Tessa Thompson of the movie, basically. She's one of the main people that is, you know, an activist in her community, trying to raise awareness, trying to build movements, organize in her community there. And so you have a situation where people in this world, they are born with powers. You know, he even meets another character in this who's played by Olivia Washington, who's Flora, who works at the fast food joint. He's always wanted to visit it, and her power is super speed. Everything goes fast, and you even see a moment where you see her backstory of like where she kind of comes from there. But you like I said, very much Boots Riley, very much this show is a critique on capitalism. You know, it's not very subtle on that. It very much hammers that point home. You see that, you know, Jermaine, when his character, in it to let me see what his character name, Cootie in this.
Cootie,
You see that when he goes out into the real world, his parents, who are his aunt and uncle, who've taken care of him all his life, who in this is played by Mike Epps, who does a really great job in this, by the way, Mike Epps. But actually, I was like, you know, watching this, I was like, I actually want to see Mike Epps in more serious, dramatic things.
Right.
From this, you know, I think he's got the combination of being like really funny, but also the combination of like, also doing the dramatic stuff. He's like, they got that good funny uncle kind of quality to him that can also be very serious. And then the aunt in this is played by Carmen Iago. She was in season 3 of True Detective. She was also in Fantastic Beasts, Purge Anarchy she was in. So she's been in other many things there. They've taken care of him most of his life, and they have shielded him from the world, you know, and part of that, they've lied to him about certain elements of things. They built this, you know, it's like, how are you going to keep this big ass 13-foot guy hidden all this time? Well, they built special things for him. Cause in this, it's like they portrayed as like a super genius, Bob the Builder, inventors, construction people who can like build gadgets and different structures for him to be in and things for him to kind of work around in. But eventually he gets found by a group of black teens there. One we mentioned, Kara Young, is played by Jones, and then another one's played by Brent Gray, Felix, and then the other one who's Scat in this. And you see that they kind of befriend him, show him around, give him a taste of the real world. And you see kind of him interacting with other people, how, because he's only gotten his knowledge of how to interact with people from television and comic books. And he reads comic books all the time. And one of the comic books he reads is The Hero, which is based on an actual figure in the show, played by Walter Goggins, who has no other name other than just The Hero. And he's basically a Tony Stark type figure, tech mogul, genius. He has this super suit that he goes around in. And he's the one that lays down the law and the order in this town, in this city. Walton Goggins always is up for a great interest in performance. Like, he's never boring in any role he's ever been in. And this 7 episodes, do you think that was enough for this series?
No, I would like another season, and I'm pretty sure Boots Riley would too. I did see his interview where he does have season 2 written, ready to go. He just needs, you know, the green light and, you know, the funding. I think this definitely has at least one more season worth of story to tell before we put a bow on it and move on to the next Boots Riley project. But we will see. I love the fact that all television, you know, in this day and age looks so cinematic, but I do also enjoy a limited series, and there's no guarantee we'll get another season 2, but I would like one. Yeah.
You mentioned all the kind of the themes kind of going on here, capitalism, so we mentioned that tons of times, and then also very much a reference of being black in America, right? You have this person, you know, to me, who's 13 feet tall, already perceived as a threat already, and then obviously, you know, it's mirroring that in real life of black men in society. Then it's also common, you mentioned the point of, like, when he steps out into the world, he gets exposed to capitalism. It's like he eats his favorite fast food joint, the burger's actually, this tastes like ass. It's like, this is actually fucking terrible. Like, I've been thirsting after this whole time. He's been watching it in commercials. And you know how, like, you know, it's like when you see a McDonald's commercial, it never looks as good as when you see it in the commercial. They make it look sexy. The salt on the fries, the dripping barbecue sauce on the McRib, you know. Yeah, it never looks as good as it does in the commercials. Then when you actually go to there and taste it in real, in person there. And then he runs into people, like you mentioned, who try to exploit him and then use him as a model there. And again, you know, because part of the reason why he wants to work and be used, he's trying to get money to go to the spot so he can interact with his person he has a big crush on, and that's the Olivia Washington character, Flora, there, and how they kind of form this connection there. And I thought that was really great. And then, you know, you can say that speaks to a lot of things of, like, you know, back in times of slavery, where it's like Mandingo type of, you know, the ideal black man, and, you know, the body, you know, how fetishized that is and worship that is. And then you even have a cult in here who literally worship him, a bunch of Steve Jobs looking rejects there that come around, that, you know, it's like, this is the Messiah. He's the guy that we've been looking for, and you know, like, worship him there. What did you think about kind of that element of the story?
I was just going to ask you. I do remember there was this, a weird little cult. They thought, you know, this guy was one they're waiting for, and on the side of that, he's modeling. Remember, he got a rash on his body. Do you think that came from the type of clothing he was wearing? Because his guardians, his uncle and aunt, they would stitch together, like, blankets and things to make his clothes. Like, all his shirts and pants at home were all, like, patched together of different things to fit him. But this company makes this actual 13-foot, like, measurement, you know, to his proportion, to his size outfit. And the material, I think, is what is making his skin break out. Like, when he's on the ground with Flora, after the, you know, she took his virginity, you see it like on his side, like, I think by his rib cage, it's like his skin is rotting almost, like his flesh is like, it's like a really intense rash, and it was never explained. That was one of the ambiguous things. Where did that start? Where did it come from? I think it came from the clothing that the model agency was giving him to wear.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, yeah, because he only mentions it when he starts the modeling thing of when he's wearing the clothes. And I can, you know, again, that ties back into capitalism of like, you know, he's got these trying to, you know, have this look and be this person and buy into this system there. And it's kind of infecting him in a way, much like what happened in Sorry to Bother You, where you had Lakeith Stanfield character like rise up in the company. And then he's becoming more and more sellout as he's getting paid more and he's leaving everyone else behind. And I think that's kind of what happens here in the series a little bit, where he gets invested with his company and then he's, you know, forgetting that the friends that he made initially. And I think that's what it does. And you see where it kind of ultimately comes to at the very end of the series, like it just, the wound just completely opens up in like this grotesque kind of way there. So, and then a lot of people speculate, I was looking up a lot of theories online. A lot of people speculating whether or not he died or he didn't die in it. Because of the way it kind of is handled. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do a season two of the series. What did you think about Walton Goggins' character and what he's supposed to represent there?
Yeah, Walton Goggins, like you said, he's such an interesting performer. He's one of those actors, he's really good at playing a racist. He does it fairly often. His character reminds me of those white people who take it upon themselves to stop shoplifters, but like they take it too far. Like, they're shoplifting. Now's my chance. Now I have a reason to hurt this person of color. You know, that's kind of slightly, he was kind of emanating a little bit, you know, the way this wealthy white man takes it upon himself to deliver justice the way he deems necessary. Like, he means well, like if you watch the show, he means well, but he's a white man, so his perspective on the world is askew. He does not see things the way everyone else does. So it took like a serious sit down conversation with
Jones.
The character's name? With Jones to see the error of his ways, and he does. At the end of her speech, he gets it and like walks away. Right, I think that's what happens. He stops fighting because before he had Cootie on the ground, he was knocking him out because he saw Cootie, like you said, as a threat. When all he was doing was, you know, listening to Jones and trying to, you know, when his friend died because the hospital didn't, you know, help him, that made him angry, and you know, he took it upon himself to kind of, you know, fight the man, but that was seen as a threat, you know. Protest against, you know, a capitalistic regime is, you know, to the white billionaire a threat. So you know, yeah, white billionaire taking upon himself. Like I think he represented like the Elon Musks of the world, like the white billionaires who think I'm the one who's going to solve this problem because I have the resource and the know-how to do it. I think that's what kind of what the hero represents in this show.
Yeah. Like you said, great performer. He does play racist quite a bit. I mean, he's good at it. I mean, hey, it works. You know, Django Unchained, Justified. Yeah, it works pretty well for him. But he, you know, it has a variety of problems. I know he's really great in that show, The Righteous Gemstones. I haven't seen it. I hear he's pretty great in that. Been meaning to check it out. But yeah, Walton Goggins is fantastic, and he's great in the show. And like I said, I do agree with your assessment there about his character in the show and he and what he kind of represents. And them trying to do all these kind of themes in 7 episodes, maybe it could have used an extra episode. Like, I feel like now a lot of these streaming shows are doing like 8 episodes, seem to be the, like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Percy Jackson. A lot of the Marvel Disney Plus shows do about 8 or so. I think that's like, I guess, the new magic number for these streaming shows now. So I would have maybe like to see maybe another episode to flesh things out. And these episodes aren't hour long episodes. They're only like about 20, 30 something minutes long. So they're not that long there. Do you ever feel like it comes off as preachy at all, the show?
Maybe the very end with Jones. Like, I understand if you can argue that it's very preachy because it's telling you exactly what's happening and why it's happening and how it's happening and who it's happening to. It's very straightforward. So it can be like, they don't do, like, there's no way they try to hide the vegetables in the mac and cheese. You know, they didn't hide the vegetables and the meat sauce to, you know, to disguise what they were trying to do. They gave me the vegetables. Like, this is what you need to know, you know, eat. So I understand. You could argue that it was preachy. I don't, for me, it wasn't. I think it's an incredibly important message to deliver. There's so many people who are just living really hard lives because the people who run the country are cruel, evil, and greedy. And that's just the bottom line, you know, capitalism.
Yeah. And I mean, the title of the last episode is literally, it's a metaphor for what? I mean, so they tell you, like, literally, I mean, it's like they explain, like, this is what it's a metaphor. This is what the show's a metaphor for. So they literally do tell you it. I can see, it is to me a little bit preachy there, the way they kind of handle it. I do like the kind of, like, I guess Kara's special ability was taking people to this magical world of, like, monologue, I guess, of theater production.
Yeah.
She has people there. I guess that was her magical ability. And let me see if I can pull up a little bit of it there, but
yeah, she does this thing with her hands and throws up this shadow shroud, and suddenly you're in this black box theater type of world where she's in control and she can show you what you need to see. And like, I forgot about that part, that there were more than one person in the world with powers, and how being 13 feet was kind of Cootie's power, because with being that tall gave you, you know, that kind of strength. But yeah, I was such a fan of how it was shot, how it was, like, the overall execution is great. I'm so glad you're able to put it up. Yeah, like, she killed this scene.
Yeah, it's really well done. I mean, she's got the models from Kanye's fashion show in here, you know what I mean? They got that going on. So, yeah, I mean, literally, this scene, she breaks it all down, explains all how it kind of happens, how it all works, and then in that episode there, so... Yeah, I guess that was kind of her thing, I guess.
Just look at Walter Goggins in this.
Oh, let me go back to it here.
This man.
I mean, he's shook when he's, you know what I mean, when he's hearing this. Yeah, I mean, look at
his hair is ridiculous. Like, you can tell by the size of his forehead, he has a lot of ideas. He kind of looks like a Power Ranger villain almost.
Yeah.
He just needs a big clunky helmet. Hilarious.
And for me, it, even though it is preachy, I think it works better than some other things. Maybe like if you see like Queen and Slim or something like a Kenya Barris property. Did you ever see The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster? Did you ever see that movie?
No, I did not see that one.
Okay. And that. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I saw Queen and Slim.
Okay. And the way I think that this is better than something like that in terms of it being preachy is because it is got great humor in it and is the surrealism of things in this world that is wacky and kind of goofy. Like, there's a cartoon in this world where people just say one thing repeatedly over and over again. Like, it's about this family and it's this weird, it's something like you would see on like Adult Swim or something there, and it kind of brings that in. And so I think the world is in like, kind of helps it be so kind of crazy. Same thing with like Sorry to Bother You. And then all of a sudden, you know, the people turn into horses and everything like that. Like, okay, I guess that's what we're doing now. So that kind of helps it a little bit there in terms of it. As much as it is about, you know, critiques on capitalism and everything like that, do you also think it has things to say about the Black community negatively as well?
I think so, yeah. In terms of, like, not paying attention, not being able to rally together, not being able to organize, because when we, you know, if we could come together and if we could all open our eyes to see what's going on and not be complacent, maybe there could be some actual change. You know, there's more of us who are struggling, oppressed, and downtrodden than those who are in power. You know, it's like an Andor, you know, there's 12 guards to a level, but there's 200 prisoners, you know, there's not enough guards to control us. And they know that, you know, or go back even further to A Bug's Life. The ants outnumbered the grasshoppers, but don't let the ants know that. If they know they outnumber us, there goes our way of life. We need to keep them in control. We need to keep them in check. And that's kind of what we're seeing a lot of I'm a Virgo with the character of of Jones. She is very, you know, socially conscious, politically aware, and, you know, she's struggling to get her people to see that. So, you know, complacency can be, you know, one of the negative critiques of the Black community, just, you know, being happy with where you are instead of fighting back when we could, you know?
Yeah. You do have like kind of like different opposing ideologies here of like, you have the Carmen Iago character there where she's very much about doing a lot of more reactionary action to things, you know what I mean? And then more about where opposed to Jones, where it's more about, you know, organizing, building a movement. You know, it's like doing these attacks necessarily isn't going to help do that. It's not going to advance anything. But building a movement, organizing, protesting, you know, that's going to do more than doing that ever could. So you see that kind of bumping up against each other. And then in terms of the way that, you know, Cootie is raised by his aunt and uncle there, like I said, very shielded from the world. It is a little maybe, you know, they could have told him the truth on some things there. You know, they didn't really trust him enough to handle that. And that's kind of a mistake there. And also, you know, them doing a lot of fear mongering there, I think, in some cases of like them showing him the book of like all the giants that have been killed and, it, you know, put on display. And, you know, you have to balance that as, you know, as a Black parent, you know, raising Black children of, you know, being preparing them for the world there, but also not instilling, you know what I mean? Where's the line between that and fear mongering? I think the series is kind of asking a question about, which I thought was very interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm really glad I finally checked out this series. A fan of Bootsy Riley. I think he's two for two now for me. Mm-hmm. I'm always excited to check out what he kind of does next. Do you know if he has anything on his radar?
Besides season two of this, I'm not sure what he has next.
Okay. No. But yeah, I'd be very interested to always check out. Like him, Donald Glover, are two people I'm always like interested to see what they do. Mm-hmm. And so he has this, and also Jordan Peele as well. That's another person.
Yeah.
See what they do. So what would you give I'm a Virgo there? What would be your rating for it? Final thoughts.
Your highest rating is Tune In or
This Is Cinema is my highest rating. And then Peak is below that, and then Tune In is below that.
Okay. I say Tune In. Again, it depends on who you are. If the story itself, if the content and context of the story speaks to you directly, then it might be Peak for you. Like these stories mean more to me and you, Josh, because we're Black. You know, people could watch The Book of Clarence, American Fiction. You know, white folk could watch it and really like it, but, you know, it wouldn't mean the message, what wouldn't mean the same to them because it's not their experience in this country. I would love to say Peak, but the entire show was very interesting, but I wasn't entirely like blown away. I love the finale, but and I love the show. When I did my top 10 shows of 2023, it was in the top 10. I'll say Tune In, definitely for sure. Tune In, like check it out for sure.
Yeah. I'd also give it kind of two, maybe higher Tune In for me. Like I said, I think it is funny in a way that Boots Riley stuff knows how to be, just very similar. Like I said, when I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like with Donald Glover, like it's uniquely funny in a way that Donald Glover knows how to be in his humor and his dry kind of humor. And this is also in the surrealism, this absurdist kind of comedy style, Boots Riley, kind of these villain, these elements. It blends kind of really well there, like he did with Sorry to Bother You. Do I think it's as good as Sorry to Bother You? I don't think it's as good as that. I don't think it's as tight as that. I don't think it's as strong or tight as that. But I still do think this is decent as a show there. Really good performances from everybody all around. They do a great job in this. Seeing also different characters' point of view, like you even get an episode of Walton Goggins as the hero where I think you even sympathize with him for a bit, and then the weird relationship he has with his assistant and what his assistant does for him. That was kind of wild and out there. I do think maybe it needed a little bit, maybe more episodes to flesh out some things more and have a more better finale. I do think it is quite a bit preachy at some points there, but like I said, it kind of works in this world that they're telling. Like you said, it kind of makes it palatable there and kind of this craziness. So for me, I would give it, a strong tune in for me.
Yeah.
For I'm a Virgo there. So good show though. I mean, I recommend people checking it out. I watched it basically in a night, basically. Just binging each episode. I think, yeah, you just go from one to the next there. And yeah.
I definitely preferred the ending to I'm a Virgo than the ending of Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah, I did. I think I do like the ending better here, and I'm a Virgo. Yeah, there's none. Yeah, people just don't randomly turn into cows or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Just turn into an animal. So it's like, okay, their thing. But I did like. I did think it was funny and Sorry to Bother You, where they like he's trying to speak to them like they don't speak English. He's like, hey, bro, I'm from Brooklyn, bro. I'm from Oakland, bro. Down the street. Like that was the voice coming out of the horse. It was kind of funny, though. So funny. Yeah, that was kind of good, though. But yeah, so two tune-ins for I'm a Virgo there.